Oh, man. Let's let the Word speak to us this morning. We're looking at this passage, this beautiful passage about the wastefulness of extravagance of some people in loving the Lord, and also the smallness of other people in observing that. But I want to talk to you today about Judas-izing the gospel. And I know the Lord will present ideas and thoughts to us. Let's go to Him in prayer. Lord, out of this message today, there are many things we can each pull. And we just pray, thanking You, first of all, that You will speak with us in our hearts, spirit to spirit. And God, upon the words of the message, that they will be completely accurate to what You want to say. And just give this all to You for the glory of Jesus and in His name. Amen. Judaizing the gospel, a kissing betrayal. Judaizing the gospel, a kissing betrayal. The story here in this beautiful passage of Scripture shows that there are moments when someone is lifted up and out of themselves into a place where, in the expression of their love to Jesus, they become extremely extravagant. To onlookers, it seems improper, odd, uncomfortable, and indeed extravagant, wasteful, and certainly not in good taste. In her being absorbed with love to Jesus, Mary incited untold millions, untold numbers of people, and challenged them to respond to Jesus in similar ways. But this kind of love also stirs up a different kind of love. It stirred up evil in the heart of Judas. His response was one we can recognize very easily. It's just like the beauty of the summer sun these first days. You know, kind of rough. You get out there and you start working, start sweating. You know by the end of the summer you'll be able to pull a whole day, but it's kind of rough. But that beautiful, warm summer sun we've been praying for is here. We love it. But over across the woods, down the creek at the stagnant pond, that same beautiful sun is breathing poison in the water. In stagnant hearts, the light of the Son of God is also producing poison in response to the beauty of love in our hearts for Jesus. You see, Mary had a foot-kissing relationship with Jesus. Can you imagine a pound of that ointment? And it being in her hair. Ladies, I've never had much hair. But could you imagine having that, wipe those feet with your hair? How long would it be with you? More than an hour. Not only the memory and the reflection of that opportunity, that rare opportunity to pour herself out on Jesus through this sharing of this expensive nard. Not one drop was lost or wasted. It was all for Jesus. And He willingly received it. Now Mary had a foot-kissing relationship with Jesus. Judas had a coin-kissing relationship with the world. And a stark contrast here is between two kinds of kingdoms, two people even attracted, as it were, in both directions. Each direction has its allure and its attraction to us. But Judas, in the end, loving the coin more than the one who gives us all things. In a short time, Judas would betray Jesus. The scripture, verse 4 through 6 of chapter 12 in John, says, Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And then explanatory note, he says, He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Judas was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was in it. There is truth, the truth in print about Judas, the one we keep, Joy and I were talking about it at breakfast this morning. It's in our hearts somehow. We keep urging ourselves and wanting Judas somehow to have been saved. And it's in our hearts somehow. Couldn't he have just somehow repented and the Lord forgiven him? Endless discussion, endless some kind of hope about Judas. But Jesus himself says in the gospel that he is bound for perdition. He is the one the Lord knew would betray him eternally and die knowing he had betrayed God eternally. A coin-kissing relationship with the world objects to Mary's kind of gift. It objects both to the one receiving the gift and the one offering the gift. A rejection of the King of heaven and an acceptance and a bowing to the kings of this world. I don't doubt that in his heart, Judas truly objected to this. It's not like he said, I'll fake it, but whatever, you know. No, I think in his heart, he was affronted by it. It was an affront to him. It was an affront to his whole system of thinking about how the kingdom of God operates. It was an affront to his system of how things should work in the world. And he thought this was just too much for love and devotion to show to Jesus. How many times have I sat in a locker room, and that's a smelly place, and I know you don't know, but I re-listened to the Boys of the Fall this weekend, so I have to put it in my sermon. And there you are, and the coach is inspiring you to be entirely reserved. Now you go out there, boys, and don't let your true emotions show. And please don't hit anybody with any outward displays of energy or anger. And let's keep it simple out there. Let's just walk and not run. And if you knock somebody down accidentally, please help them get up. No. The coach himself, probably more than the players, with tears and snot and spit as he talks, says, get out there and unleash yourself. Give yourself an abandon. This is not an emotionless game. You cannot approach this game and win with anything less than a sense of you want total victory. And in this kingdom of God, there is absolutely no way to pursue it end to end with an emotionless, detached air about yourself. And I get it. Some people are not given or prone to expressions like others. You know, I might have played football with you. But we all find a way to put it on the field. Everybody who's on the team understands the commitment required. The blood, the sweat, and the tears. Everyone out there understands the commitment is to each other and to the goal, to the school. And yeah, not everybody runs up and down the sideline screaming like a maniac. But everybody's heart is in the game. Judas was one who thought he was loving the kingdom of God with his own values firmly in place. This is how the world continues its stranglehold on the church. We have a church atmosphere and a church attitude in the world that is being beaten down and currently being defeated by elements of the kings of this world and the kingdoms that dominate this world, because the church is infused with the kingdoms of this world and its thought and its values. Judas thought that was too much, but he was also probably convicted by this singular display of love, this uncomfortable act. Now, I'm pretty sure Judas thought he was conducting his business in secret. I think the disciples on some level knew that he was stealing from the pot. You know, they count 30 coins going in and there are only 28 coins left. I think they somehow among themselves knew Judas' character, the things he valued. But let's just say that he was successfully holding it all in secret. It was not secret to Jesus. And outward appearances can be deceiving. And some days all we can do is get up and fake it, right? Till we wrestle down a certain sin in our life or a certain omission or some failing, that a failure of absolute love. The sunshine on the pond of our heart is stagnating and poisoning our water. And that's the religious facade in the world. This poisoning effect that the world looks at and is repelled by that kind of display of religiosity, even of its own values displayed so fully, the world is repelled. And here's another thing. Evil always breaks out in complaints. Always. And I'm a complainer. I could write a song about complaining. I gotta complain about everything. I gotta complain about toenails. I've written songs about other kinds of. Evil always finds its way out in its complaint. And its heart is, because of the poisoning of that heart, the complaint comes out as an evidence of the evil and the opposite, the kingdom opposite values we hold in our lives. I wish I had a long time to preach today, but I don't. But listen now. Jesus never used his kingship to set aside the dominion of the kings of this world. I'll say it again. Jesus never used his kingship to set aside the dominion of the kings of this world. Not once did he say, rise up, or resist, or go preach to the slaves and tell them, get free. Don't go out there. He didn't do any of those things. He travailed in this world, among the kings of this world, the powers of this world, knowing he was the king of everything. And then when Pilate inquisitively asks him, are you a Jew? Are you a king? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, what would happen? My followers would fight your followers, value for value. If my kingdom was of this world, my sermons would make sense. But everything I say, you come away going, what in the heck is that guy talking about? It's because my kingdom's not from this world. My values are not your values. And the values of the kingdom of God are not the values of this world. And so as I pass out of this world and I go to that cross and I die an atoning death for your sin and the fall of creation, I will lead the kings and powers of the spirit realm in subjection. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. My kingdom arrives, as he told his disciples in John, my kingdom arrives in the hearts of my believers. And in John 3, he says, unless you're born from above, born again, you will never see or enter the kingdom of heaven. And so, folks, why are we so invested in somehow claiming Jesus to be a Savior, and then to continue to own the values of this world, to profess our loyalty and allegiance to what this world says is right. And I'm looking for my day. I'm looking for my day in the kingdom when I become the doormat. That's all I want to be. Because the rich have their reward. I'm looking for the day when the upside down values in Jesus' sermons all suddenly make sense. I'm looking for a day when I won't criticize every good thing God made or God's people do. If we're extravagant with our love for Jesus, He will not criticize us. Can you hear people fussing at Jesus? And she's spreading that stuff all over His feet. And they're going, Jesus, come on. Jesus? Yeah. Well, I'm not in your shoes, Jesus. Well, Jesus didn't criticize her. He blessed her and said she understood what she was doing. So I ask you today simply, am I like Mary? Extravagant in my own way, in my own way, in my love for Jesus? Or am I like Judas, kissing the coinage and the values of this world? Because the world cannot ever see Jesus in the church until we reflect Jesus among us as the church. And the world can never see the arrival of the kingdom of God until it arrives first fully in us. Do you expect the kingdom of God will arrive in a heart that is in bondage to this world? There is no way the kingdom of God arrived in the heart of Judas, who from the beginning to the end did nothing but betray the King of Love. The one who was loving him as he was loving himself. Jesus was loving Judas, and Judas was loving Judas. God's kingdom is not of this world. And those who see this and exercise their citizenship and recognize their king in their devotion and love to him, they are the ones who love Jesus. We're learning in our Bible study that if we focus less on how impossible it is to get rid of sin and focus on how possible it is to get more love, that we could love Jesus more, and in our devotion to Him and loving Him more fully and completely, somehow arrive at a place where our lives are pleasing and our lives are a blessing. And this isn't a works gospel. This is the effects of a full gospel, of hearts that are transformed. I pray that you quest with me after such a love, not a love that kisses the values of this world, but where not one drop of my love is shed for this world, but it's all poured on the feet of Jesus. This act we do today in communion is a simple reminder that His body is given to us. And if you come and receive it in the right spirit, you receive His life in you. His grace becomes so active in you. If you take that cup in remembrance of shedding His blood, you take it and you drink it, you're acknowledging that that blood has covered a multitude of sins. And it has in itself the power to redeem each one of us. That's what love is. Let's come and partake in this act of love today.